Morning, everyone. We are going to be in the book of Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We will be there shortly. First of all, let me say it's good to be back after being gone for a week. Many of you probably know I was gone this past week on a trip to Virginia. I have a buddy that is a pastor in a little town named Warsaw, or outside of Warsaw, in the northern neck area of Virginia, which is about a half hour south of the Potomac River, if anybody knows the geography there. So got to see some great country. I got to see the old homestead of Robert E. Lee, which was pretty cool, and a few other colonial kind of points over there. Got to eat some really good seafood. Got to be a part of a good church there, a good warm congregation. Had a great time during the revival services, and of course I got to hang out with a friend I haven't hung out with in a long time. So it was a great week. I'm thankful for all of the prayers that all of you offered. For that, and I just want you to know those were effective because I had a very good and safe and just a really productive week. And so thank you for all of that. I am, however, glad to be back home. Glad to be home with my wife and two boys. I'm glad to be back here at my church home to worship with all of you guys. I did listen to Jared's sermon last week that we have posted online as he continued along in our series 752, Prayer at Home, looking at the importance of praying together as families. I think the main phrase that Jared hit on last week was that families that pray together stay together. I reflected over the Lord's Prayer from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and kind of gave you some real practical advice on how to flesh that out. We're going to continue along in that same kind of practical vein this morning as we continue looking at the importance of praying together. And so we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 here in just a moment. Those of you who maybe haven't heard the challenge so far, hopefully some of you are taking it. There are some of these bands in our Home Connection Center down this hallway to the left if you would like to pick them up. As a reminder to take this prayer challenge, this prayer at home challenge. Once again, I know you've heard us say it several times the last few weeks, but just to remind you, we are challenging you through the end of this school year, so through like next May, to pray every day for your family individually, 7 days a week, to pray 5 days a week, five times a week with your family, with your household, and to pray at least twice weekly with your spouse, and if you are unmarried, with a very close friend. We encourage you to do that because we believe not only will it bring your family together, but as we're going to focus on this morning, that it will allow your family to be better positioned to achieve the will of God in your family's life. Now, if you've been taking this challenge, and let's say that it's something you haven't done before, let's say that praying might be something you do individually, but praying with your family and with your spouse is not something that you've made an intentional practice up until we challenged you to do that. Don't feel alone in that. Hopefully, that's what we're trying to get you to do, so we're grateful that you are. But if you're praying together with your family for the first time, kind of on a consistent basis, chances are there have been some awkward moments. Because when you do anything for the first time, there's kind of a learning curve, right? It takes a while for everything to move smoothly, and so it can kind of be awkward. Now, I know that sounds unrighteous, right, for a pastor to say that praying can be awkward, but I have heard my fair share of awkward prayers. I've offered my fair share of awkward prayers. Once at the end of a service in Bront, I prayed these exact words, and I probably shared them with you before. I prayed, Lord, I know that we can't say thank you enough, and then I had a moment where I couldn't think of what to say next, and so I said, Lord, thank you, because I said it twice, so obviously that means even more than just saying thank you. Maybe you've heard awkward prayers before too. Growing up in the church that I grew up in, we had some deacons that would pray at the end of every service, and a lot of them would pray in the old King James English prayer. You know what I'm talking about, right? Where someone stops and says, Lord, we beseech thee to haveth mercy upon us, thy children, you know, something like that. And while that might be, you know, from their heart to my ears, who didn't necessarily hear that kind of talk regularly, that sounded awkward. There's always the wonderful TMI prayer. You know what I'm talking about, too much information. When you're with someone and you're praying like in a small group or in a Sunday school setting or something, and all of a sudden it becomes like just this gush of information that you didn't know that's supposed to be confidential that gets, you know, thrown out as a prayer request. We also call that gossip in the Baptist world. Maybe you've heard the passive-aggressive prayer. Or maybe if you've prayed with your spouse and suddenly your spouse begins to pray that God would fix all of that stuff that's wrong with you. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, God, please help Corey with his anger that he showed us earlier today. So awkward prayers happen. And again, if you haven't done something a lot, it only makes sense that you're not going to be good at it the first few times. It's the same kind of thing I try to teach when it comes to evangelism. A lot of Christians expect themselves, well, the first time I lead somebody to Christ, it's just going to be easy and perfect. No, it's going to be awkward because you don't have any practice. In the same way with praying together, if it's not something that you're already doing, when you try to implement it, there's going to be that time of awkward moments. It is funny, though, that if we pray with the people we love the most in the world, that can sometimes be the most awkward prayers of all. Some of you might have an easy time praying in a Sunday school class or even on a Sunday morning or in a small group of Christians because, you know, those prayers are usually pretty basic, asking God to be with people that are sick and so on and so forth. But when it comes to real, like, deep level prayers, the kind that you would pray with your spouse, sometimes that can be awkward. Maybe because you talk to God in a way that's different than the way you talk with your spouse, and hopefully that's something you can work on, but maybe you can identify with how that sometimes works. Because praying together is an intimate practice, and intimacy is never easy. I've learned that throughout all of my human relationships. We would like to think of the storybook romance where intimacy just happens, where love just happens. But if you ask anybody that's been married for 50 or 60 years, you're going to find a story that while there were times where things just happened, there were also a lot of times where they had to work. They had to work to make things look as good as they did from the outside. They had to work to have that kind of teamwork and that kind of intimacy. Because intimacy requires transparency. And nobody that I have ever met in my entire life likes absolute transparency. Let me give you an example. A couple of months ago, my wife's mom, so my mother-in-law, and her husband, my wife's stepdad, came to visit us from Sweetwater. They stayed with us for a few days, and they were mainly to see Cannon and Corbin. We were just kind of there. You know how that is if you have children and grandparents come to visit. But one evening, I think it was Saturday, we drove into Fort Worth. We went to Joe T. Garcia's, and then we came back, and it was the hot, dry part of the summer. And so when we got back, I immediately went and started watering the lawn. I was putting sprinklers out where they went. And then I went back inside and said hello to Cheryl on my way back in, and then went back to the room to change and out of the clothes that I was went to Joe T. Garcia's in. And suddenly, Cheryl and her mom, who were sitting in our living room, they obviously didn't know that I walked right past them into the bedroom. And so they heard some weird noise coming from the back of the house, some weird, like, strange noise. And Cheryl just immediately assumed, hey, something bad is happening. There's someone in the house that shouldn't be in the house. And so she got Corbin and Cannon. Her stepdad was off, like, in the garage or something. She got them, and she began to take them out of the house. And Cheryl's mom, who was in her 60s, and who is a very little woman, decided that she was going to be the one that figured out what was going on. Now, mind you, Cheryl thought I was outside at the time. I was actually in my bedroom changing where the sound was coming from. So you can imagine what happened when my 63-year-old mother-in-law flung open the door. I at least had my shorts on at the time, but I'm standing there very, very overwhelmed, very embarrassed, and I thought it was Cheryl that walked in at first. Like, I thought it was just her, because who else would be walking in my bedroom, right, besides my wife? And so I just figured it was her, and so I kind of jokingly, like, covered myself, like, ooh, you know, like that, but it was actually my mother-in-law. So hopefully you can imagine the shame and embarrassment that went all over me in that moment. Nobody likes absolute transparency. And I told you this story to give you a very real object lesson of an awkward moment, because we just had one together, didn't we, when I shared this story with you. Nobody likes absolute transparency. And so transparency can lead to awkward moments. But this morning, we're going to work on some of these awkward things by just looking at how we can pray together as families. Jared said last week that the family that prays together stays together. What I want to give you this week is this truth: the family that prays together becomes more like Christ together. And we're going to look at a prayer that Paul offers on the behalf of the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So we're going to break this prayer down into its three essential parts. The first thing that Paul prays for the Philippian church is he prays that their love would abound. This is him asking God to strengthen their relationships. And so when you pray with your family, maybe this would be a place to start. To start by praying for your relationships. Think about the power that that might have to strengthen your relationships and that sort of intimacy that can sometimes bring awkward moments. Perhaps it can move past that awkwardness and move into something much more beautiful. So when you pray with your spouse, pray that God would bring the two of you closer together. Pray that he would help you support your spouse in important decisions or in difficult moments that they are going to go through. Pray that God would help resolve differences between the two of you. I can't overstate the value of this one, I don't think. Because in the midst of an argument, one of the last things that Christians think to do is pray. Because we're a whole lot more worried about being right or winning the said argument than we are about actually seeking out God's will in the moment. But I would encourage you to, when you have an argument, and I think I did this a couple of weeks ago when we started, to when you have an argument with your spouse, turn to prayer instead of turning away from one another. And so in all seriousness, try praying together after your next argument. Seriously. I don't just mean that as a nice little thing I can throw on the board here, but to actually try this out. Now, you might not want to do it in the heat of the battle, but once you resolve the argument, hopefully, come back together and pray for forgiveness. Pray that God would help you move forward. Pray that God would help both of you move past what just happened and instead see the value of coming to some sort of common ground instead of kind of staking your own claim in each of the argument. And pray that God would resolve that tension and that issue between you. Pray for your love to abound, as Paul says. Pray for the strength of your relationship to grow. If we would actually do this, and I know this is a challenge, married folks, but if we could actually do this with the people that we spend our lives with, how many times have you had an argument with a spouse and it affected the rest of your week? Like, not just the rest of your day, but the rest of your week. You thought about it the rest of every day of the rest of the week, and maybe even longer if it was one of those big, huge blow-up arguments. Imagine if we could find resolution to those issues by coming together in prayer to God and asking him to help us to deal with what we obviously can't deal with on our own. And so if you're looking for some practical advice on how to pray, here is one with your spouse. Bring God into the argument in prayer and seek God's face together, even when things get difficult. When you pray with your children, pray that love would abound by praying out loud for forgiveness if you lost your cool with them earlier that day. Asking God to forgive you for that way you raised your voice or for the way you mistreated them in the heat of the moment. Pray again openly in front of your children that God would allow you to or would help you to be a good and godly parent, to raise them in the way that he would have you raise them. Children, teenagers, when you pray with your parents or with your siblings, pray out loud for forgiveness of the mistakes that you have made. You can basically do this in any relationship, to actually pray out loud that God would forgive you for the mistakes that you have made. Now, again, that might seem counterintuitive, especially if we want to ignore our mistakes and not draw attention to them. But I think that asking for forgiveness from God in the presence of your family will lead them to respect you more, not less. Opening up about your mistakes, being vulnerable about them, and your family seeing that you know you messed up and you're seeking God's forgiveness will only serve to strengthen your relationship in the long run. Again, children, praying for parents or siblings. Pray a prayer of thanksgiving for all that your parents have done for you. Especially teenagers, I encourage you to actually like think for a moment and catalog all the stuff that your parents have done that you obviously take for granted from time to time and you don't think through every day. Take a moment in prayer to be thankful about that before God and before your parents so that they would know how much that means to you. And when you pray with other family members or you play with close friends, pray out loud for them by name. asking that God would bless them in specific ways. I think I've told you before that when I was at Hardin-Simmons, I belonged to a drama ministry company called the Love Company. And we went all over, you know, that part of Texas, West Texas, and we even came this way a few times, going and doing skits for churches and stuff like that. We would meet together once a week, like Thursday nights, I believe. And one time at the end of a semester, our leader, her name was Wendy, she encouraged all of us to simply spend the rest of the evening going around and praying for each member, one-on-one. And so we would kind of take turns and walk around the room, and we would just pray over each other. I told you a couple weeks ago that when people have prayed with me, it made a difference that people praying for me never could make in my life. And that was one of those moments. I had people that I knew really well and some that I didn't know very well at all. It was a big group praying for me by name that God, that God would bless me. The ones who knew me praying for specific issues going on in my life. And when I do that, when that happened to me, love abounded, as Paul would say. Relationships were strengthened. I still remember that night when we prayed together many years ago, and it still affects me even today. Pray that love would abound, Paul says. Strengthen your relationships through prayer. Paul goes on to pray that the Philippians would be pure and blameless. This is about asking God to allow us to walk in a holy manner. Allow us to walk in a blameless and pure manner. So this is about praying for God's assistance with our day-to-day lives. When you pray with your spouse, in order to pray that God would allow you to be pure and blameless, pray for protection from the temptation that would endanger your relationship. Again, if you've ever had issues of trust in your relationship, if you've ever had issues where you're afraid that your spouse might have a wondering eye or might be thinking things that he or she shouldn't or might be struggling with lust or something along those lines, allow that to enter into your prayer lives. Your prayer life should be an extension of the rest of your life. It should be a part of it. A lot of times we try to cut it into different segments, right? Where when we pray, well, that's about praying that God would make people healthy and would protect us while we travel. But we kind of leave sometimes that really intimate stuff that really needs to be prayed about, we kind of leave it out of the mix. But instead, I encourage you to let that enter into the mix and pray for protection from temptation. Pray for the kinds of things that your spouse is going to see that might endanger your relationship. Pray that God would give them the strength to get through that. You can pray that against any kind of temptation, but I'm just delivering that one specifically. Pray that your spouse would be prepared for specific trials or specific decisions that you know are coming up that week or that day for him or her. If your spouse works in a position of leadership at their work, they're probably going to have to make tough decisions. And hopefully you guys are talking about some of that, you know, what they can talk about, obviously. But in that moment, if they're going to have to let somebody go, like if they're a boss or they're an employee and it looks like there might be some cutbacks, if there's going to be those kind of tough decisions or kind of tough trials that you know are coming, pray that God would be with them. Pray with them that God would be with them through those moments during that day or that week. Parents, when you pray with your children, pray that God would help them make good choices. Again, it's one thing for you to give them advice on what to do, but it is a whole different animal when they hear you ask God to help them walk in a straight way, to help them make good decisions and stay away from those things that they need to stay away from. And take time to thank God openly in front of your children for the good decisions that your children have made. Give them praise by praising God for the good that he has done through them. Children, when you pray with your parents or when you pray with your siblings, thank God for the leadership that your parents give you on a day-to-day basis, showing you how to live a Christ-like life. Thank you for the way that they have raised you. Thank you that they have placed you in a good church that's giving you things that will hopefully allow you to walk in a pure or more pure manner. Pray that God would help you be a positive role model for your siblings that are younger than you or for your extended family that is younger than you or for your classmates, whatever it may be. And when you pray with other members of your family or close friends, those of you who aren't married and you have someone that you are relying on to do this two times a week, praying with someone that is very close to you, why don't you just make a pact? And this would even be good, those of you who are married, if you have a close friend that you kind of share life with, make a pact to call each other when you're facing tempting moments, when some kind of trial might be coming up, and say, hey, will you pray for me because I'm struggling with this right now? This is a temptation that is in front of me, or this is something that is coming up at work that is going to be difficult. And also confess your sins to one another so that you can pray for those issues. Again, that's another thing we often overlook in the church and in our corporate prayer lives, but it's something that Scripture tells us to do in the book of James, to confess our sins to one another. Take that time to share openly what's going on with people you trust, of course, so that those issues might be prayed for. Praying together is the perfect way to prepare for the tests of the day. Every day has tests. And the best way for you to get yourself and your family ready for those tests so that you may walk in a pure and blameless manner is to pray with and for each other. The last thing that Paul says for the Philippians is that he prays that they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. This is about praying that God would work through us for his glory, not just so that he would help us stay away from temptation and not make bad decisions, but so that God would lead us to do something that's valuable and a work for him, or allow him to work through us, I should say. When you pray with your spouse, to pray that God would fill them with the fruit of righteousness, pray that God would call you, both of you, to a ministry that you can do together. Something that you can share is serving the Lord. Pray that God would move through your spouse in the callings that they have. Whatever it is that your spouse feels led to in ministry or in church work or a way to minister in their workplace, pray for those things specifically by name. And parents, when you pray with your children, pray that God would reveal to them their spiritual gifts. Pray that God would show them the way that his Spirit is in them so that it might move, so that he might move, the Spirit might move in them in the rest of the world. And pray that God would lead your family to take on a certain ministry, something that you can share and do together. And children, when you pray for your parents and when you pray with your siblings, pray that God would reveal ways you can serve your parents and siblings. You can pray that for every relationship. Pray that God would reveal ways that you can serve each other. And give thanks for the ways that you have seen God move in your family members. Again, the family that prays together stays together. But also the family that prays together becomes more like Christ together. And this is kind of where I want to try to draw everything to a close in this series. There are certain objectives we have in praying with one another. One of those is to build unity, as Paul talked about, letting love abound. To build unity in our relationships, to bring a new level of intimacy, a spiritual intimacy that is probably lacking in many homes in our churches today. It's also to better understand the will of God as a family, to better understand what God is doing in our midst, what is going on in these situations that we encounter on a day-to-day life, to better help us walk through difficult circumstances so that we might lean on one another, or together we might lean on God for wisdom in the midst of difficult times. But the main purpose, in my opinion, the main purpose of praying together as a family is to prepare your family to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Everything that we do, everything that we teach in our church is to this end, to allow us to be disciples that make disciples so that God might lead us to make a difference in the world around us, so that God might bless us with spiritual gifts that we might use in order to make his kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. This is our end. This is our goal. And this is why we are encouraging you, families. This is why we are encouraging you, those of you who are living alone, to find someone and combine with them in prayer. We want you to get along better. We want you to have deeper, more meaningful, more intimate relationships. But above all, we want you to communicate with God together corporately so that together corporately you may be prepared to go out into the world and to do the work of Jesus Christ. So that you may be prepared to face the trials of the world in a Christ-like manner, spreading his gospel, doing for the least of these what no one else is willing to do. This is why we pray, not so that we might change God's mind, but so that God might change our hearts. Because when we pray by ourselves, God changes me. But when we pray together, God changes us. And the reason why he does that, in my opinion, the ultimate reason why he does that is so that we can be prepared to allow God to change the world through us. God sent us out to be disciples. God sent us out to be witnesses. This is our goal. And the whole goal of our family ministry here at FBC Grandview is for us to be able to leverage the strength of the Christian family for the kingdom of God. And we are going to do that through prayer. And so I don't want you to see this 752 challenge as just something for your family. No, we believe it's for the church and for the world. Because when families pray together, churches change. And when churches change, the world changes. And so I hope you see that in the midst of your family and in the midst of your closest relationships, so that you may both together, all of you as a family, grow closer to Christ, and so that when that happens, you might see God move through you in a new way. It's not going to happen if we are not seeking God's face in prayer. But if we come together and pray together, God will change us, and who knows what he will do in the world through us. Because a family that prays together, a church that prays together, a group of friends that pray together, become more like Christ together. This is our goal. Take the challenge, if you're not already, and see what happens. During our time of invitation this morning, two things. I want you just to pray for God's leadership, God's guidance on praying together as a family. Ask God to allow, if it's awkward, to allow it to become more fluid, allow it to become easier. Pray that God would move in your family through this gift of prayer. Pray that God would move in your family to be a difference maker in the world through the gift of prayer. And also, as you can see, we are planning on taking the Lord's Supper this morning. And so I encourage all of you to be in prayer about that, asking God to allow you to deal with any sort of issues that are on your heart so that you can be prepared to take this when the time comes. Well, let's stand together. Bill and Lynn are going to lead us in a song of invitation. You pray in whatever way God is leading you to, and know that I'm here and the altar is open. If you would like to come down and pray with me, you can also find me after the service. Let's pray together, and then you move in whatever way God is calling. Father, again, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you for the gift of praying together. And God, I pray that in this very body, God, that you would let love abound. God, that you would strengthen relationships and bring intimacy where there needs to be more. God, that you would protect us, that you would allow us to walk in a more pure and blameless way. God, that you would help us be mindful of temptation around us and to lean on you in order to say no when we need to say no. And God, that you would bear fruits of righteousness through this body and through the families of this body, so that together we might make a difference, you might make a difference through us, that we might look more like you to a world who needs to see you. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.